Welcome along to another D Word podcast. Now, regular listeners will know I never need an excuse to talk about music. So I'm delighted that my guest on this edition is Giles Wilmore from Music in Mind Remote. Established as a joint venture by the award-winning orchestral charity Manchester Gamerata and the University of Manchester, Music in Mind is a pioneering music therapy-based program for people living with dementia and their carers. Well, Giles, it's great to meet you and have you as my guest here on the D Word. As listeners will know, music is one of my favourite subjects, so I'm really looking forward to chatting to you. Before we go into kind of Music in Mind Remote, can you kind of start at the beginning, tell us a little bit about it, how it came about and how you got involved?
Yes, of course, Pete, and it's great to be here. So thank you for inviting me on, and I hope this is going to be of real interest to your listeners. So Music in Mind has been something that has been going on for about 10 years now with Manchester Gamerata. So people may be aware or may not, I don't know. Manchester Gamerata's a music charity based in Manchester, as you would expect, and it's mainly known for being an orchestra, but it has a very active community program. And one of the areas where the community program's been really active is working with people living with dementia, both in community settings and in care homes throughout the Greater Manchester area. So over the last 10 years, Gamerata musicians and music therapists have been working to develop what we now call Music in Mind, which is a form of music-based therapy. And it's been done in partnership with Manchester University, who've done quite a lot of evaluation and associated research. I came along about 6 months ago and joined the organisation because what was happening during the COVID pandemic was obviously the face-to-face sessions couldn't happen anymore because of restrictions on care homes and face-to-face meetings. And so a lot of the work that was being done then went online, and we had to work through and with people in care homes, such as the care staff and people that were in community groups, to deliver sessions online. And so that gave birth to the idea of training and developing and supporting people who are not necessarily musically talented, don't have any musical experience, but do work with people with dementia, either in a paid role as their carers in a care home or community group setting, or informally in an unpaid role as family members and carers or helpers in a volunteer capacity. And so our program is very much about trying to train and support what we're calling music champions, so people who are enthusiasts and interested to support people with dementia but don't have to be able to play musical instruments live. So we use pre-recorded backing music. The sessions are still delivered face-to-face and live using a wide range of handheld percussion instruments. But a lot of the training and a lot of the support is now available online. So we're getting a mixture of online, hence the remote part of the name, but also still delivering face-to-face music sessions, which people really value.
Yeah, it's been a strange thing, really, isn't it? A lot of this stuff has come out of the global pandemic, and but you know, the one thing I'd say to you is, if I was a family carer and you wanted me to get involved in music therapy, I'd say, Giles, I can't sing, I'm tone deaf, and I can't play a musical instrument. What do I do?
That's exactly what I said when I joined the organisation as somebody who isn't a musician at all. And what I would say is, I think we all underestimate our own abilities. And what we found happening through the face-to-face sessions was that family members were coming along with a husband or wife that was living with dementia. And just by attending every week, they were getting the hang of how the sessions worked. They were joining in. They were helping people select instruments. They were singing along. They were tapping out rhythms with the instruments. And they were effectively helping to facilitate the group anyway, without really realizing that's what they were doing. And this, as I say, gave birth to the idea that the only real barrier is the ability to play a musical instrument. So when we do the sessions with one of our music therapists or musicians, they will usually play a keyboard as a kind of rhythm, you know, as sort of an instrument in the background to create some sort of backing rhythm. And we realize that with a selection of pre-recorded backing tracks where their space is left, so it's not like music you would download from Spotify, it's effectively the rhythm and the style of music. So we've got a range of different genres and styles, which we're always looking to expand. And so that the people that are now training as music champions can effectively use that and facilitate the session with, you know, the people in with dementia joining in with the handheld percussion instruments, and it actually works remarkably well. But you're right, I think it's about having the confidence to give it a go. And so the program we run takes anything between 10 to 20 weeks, depending on settings. We don't just drop people in at the deep end. They're actively supported by professional musicians. They're trained and shown how to facilitate the sessions, how to use some of the skills of music therapist has to engage people individually in the group. So, for example, every session starts with a hello song, where every individual participant in the group is greeted by name individually within the song, and similarly it finishes with a goodbye song. So there's a sort of structure to it, but within that structure it's very much about improvisation and just letting people in the group go where they want to go in terms of the pace and rhythm of the music that they make.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
This is the D-Word podcast with my guest, Giles Wilmore from Music in Mind Remote. And I guess, you know, the research from the university there in Manchester is very important because it, you know, it demonstrates the effect and the effectiveness of music for people living with dementia, which is something people may not always think about.
Absolutely. So they've done a lot of really useful research and evaluation of different waves of music in mind activity that we've done in different settings in Greater Manchester. And they found, you know, quite considerable benefits to the person living with dementia. So these range from obviously the social connection of being part of a group, so meeting new people, making friendships, getting them out of the house if they're coming to a community group. We've had anecdotal feedback, you know, from people saying this is the highlight of my father's week, etc., coming along to the session every week. So something people really look forward to and enjoy. So there's an enjoyment part of it. There's also that creativity, using music as a form of communication and an expression, particularly where people might, for example, be nonverbal. And there's also other research and evidence to show that it can have wider benefits, such as reducing agitation or anxiety, and just helping people be calmer and more relaxed and more at ease. So there's much kind of more work, obviously, we'd love to do around the wider benefits of music and dementia. But what we've seen today has, you know, considerable benefit for the people living with dementia. And we're currently, or I should say the university is currently completing a piece of research looking at the benefits for carers, for paid care staff in particular, because what we're hearing in terms of the feedback we get is how much more enjoyable and rewarding it makes their jobs, because it gives them something really meaningful to do for their residents in care homes, and it gives them something really meaningful in terms of their own working pattern, and also makes for a calmer and more relaxed atmosphere in terms of the residents really enjoying the sessions. So we're looking at benefits that aren't only for the people living with dementia, but family members and paid care staff as well.
Some of the research I saw as well shows there's financial benefit. Figure came out of the University of Manchester research that said £12,000 saved over 3 months just by reducing agitation, which is, I would never have put those two things together, but, you know, that's quite a headline.
It is, and this is again an area where we want to do more research. And my own background is within the healthcare system. So one of the things we're keen to do now, and we've already had some support and funding from the NHS, is to say to the NHS and to local authorities, this isn't just delivering benefit for people living with dementia; it's also potentially going to help you, with pressure on health services. So. In that particular case, it was looking at, for example, drug prescriptions, particularly antipsychotic drugs, and the fact that these are not going to be needed as much if people are calmer and more relaxed and less agitated. And of course, who wants to be taking prescriptions, particularly antipsychotic drugs, if they don't need to? So there's a benefit there, not only in terms of a cost saving to the NHS, but also in quality of life, which is obviously the most important thing. But yes, we'd be interested to do more work in the future about wider benefits there might be to hard-pressed public services. Are people less likely to need a GP called out for them? Are people less likely to, end up admitted to hospital? Well, I suspect the answer would be yes, but we'll need more research to evaluate those wider sort of benefits to the healthcare system, as well as what we already know about the benefits to the person living with dementia and their family and carers.
Yeah, I think it's like so many organisations, isn't it? You get a hunch that this is working, and we almost, know it's working, but you've still got to do that research and you've still got to evaluate it to prove that it's working to keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah, and you may or may not be aware that within the healthcare system now, there's a big movement around what's called social prescribing, which is essentially supporting people with group and community-based activities that support their wider health and well-being, but aren't clinical in nature. And we see this music in mind approach very much as part of that social prescribing family. And we know it's working and delivering benefit for people with dementia. We suspect it might be of equal benefit to other groups, for example, people living with anxiety or low-level depression, social isolation, a whole range of ways in which music in being part of something creative and participative could benefit people more broadly. So, yeah, I suspect there will be many benefits that are not yet fully developed and understood.
Yeah, and our whole area internationally as well, because music is an international language, isn't it? So, it's not just Manchester, not just the UK, it's everywhere.
Well, absolutely. And we've in fact been doing work. Manchester Camerata has been doing work with a number of overseas organisations. So we're involved with colleagues in Taiwan at the moment to develop and train remotely care staff over there and link to research in one of their universities. So particularly a number of connections in the Far East, which, as you know, has a very, very ageing population. We've done work in Japan in the past, and we've also had recent interest, for example, from colleagues in Sweden. So I think you're right, this is international. Music is an international language, and of course many parts of the world are facing the same challenges that we are in this country, with an aging population and sadly more people developing dementia and needing support that improves the quality of their life.
Yeah, we've got a big listener base in North America, and I'm sure they would be, very interested in this whole thing. I mean, in terms of music, I'm a bit of a muso. I've been since my first Beatles record all those years ago. And I had a statistic which says that the music you absorb in the first 30 years of your life is the most important to you. And people always look at kind of this age barrier thing. And when you work that out, that means that for someone that's 80 now, that takes them up to 1973. So they go through, Elvis, the Beatles, psychedelia, onto glam rock. And that's how that profile is just going to move up.
It is. And so what the great thing about Music in Mind is, it's very much led by the people participating in the group. So there isn't a set menu of types of music that would be played. These backing tracks that I refer to are more genres and styles than particular songs. So if somebody wants something calm and relaxing, or something a bit more up-tempo and upbeat, then it's about creating some rhythm in the background that allows the group of people living with dementia to participate. I think the styles and genres can be adapted. So, for example, we have a group that meets in Wigan, which is the Soul Cafe based around Northern Soul, which obviously started in Wigan and has a strong following. And that very much, I think, fits in with what you're saying, that there's a group of people now of an age where they might be susceptible to dementia, but would have grown up on Northern Soul as a type of music. We've got another group that's just started in Rochdale, which is predominantly ladies with a South Asian heritage and background, and they're very interested, obviously, in music that's more of a sort of Bollywood-type genre. So we're looking at how we can get some music that fits in with that kind of style as backing. So I think, yes, music is very reminiscent of our early years and our sort of formative years. So It is genuinely something that would work, I think, in any culture. And therefore, for us, the thing is to broaden and widen the types and styles of music that people can participate with in music in mind, and not just assume everybody wants the same style or same approach.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. I mean, I've been in care settings, and to be honest with you, I get a bit frustrated because music is almost used as a space filler. Someone someone turned the radio on this morning, I'll have a ding, doesn't matter what it is. And it's just so much more important than that. Like, that kind of really frustrates me, that approach.
Absolutely. And I think one of the sort of cultural challenges we're facing with health and care sort of approaches is to see music much more than just an entertainment. So as you know, most care homes will have an activities coordinator and have a very small budget for activities, and often they bring in musicians, singers, entertainers, and that's absolutely great, and there's lots of positive feedback and those types of approach. But we're trying to take it a stage further and say, yes, it's good fun, and we know that people enjoy being part of these sessions and get a lot out of it, but it's actually genuinely participative. So the point is, the people living with dementia are making the music as part of the group. They're not just sitting back listening. So they can play the percussion instruments to whatever degree of ability or involvement they're able or wish to have. It may just be tapping a tambourine, it may be banging out a tune on a xylophone, it may be shakers, maracas, you name it. There's a wide variety. I never knew there were so many handheld percussion instruments that existed. There's a wide variety of ways in which they can create and start to make their own music. They don't just have to be passive recipients. And we're very keen to try and continue the evidential and research-based work, because I'd love to see music and music-based therapy as part of care and support plans for people living with dementia. That it's actually part of the therapeutic care and treatment that they receive, because as we've just talked about, it can be as efficacious as prescribing drugs, if not more so in some cases. So why not have that as part of the care and support package that somebody can access?
Yeah, I think that would be great. If I ever find myself in that position, that is something that would really help me as a person, because, I go back to my own doctor's surgery, that sometimes I want to rip the speakers off the wall with what's actually being played in the background, because there's no thought at all behind it. And you're in a care setting where, you're a little bit anxious, you ain't going for the doctors and stuff like that. And you could see that even there, for me, that would be a good application. So I think this is so important, all this stuff.
I totally agree. And I think, as I say, what we're really trying to do with Music in Mind is to bridge two worlds, really, the world of arts and music and creativity, which sort of understands this very well, the power and benefit of music. But as I say, my background coming from a different world, one within in health and care services, which understand the benefits of therapeutic approaches, but have not necessarily thought of music as a way of delivering this. And so you are dealing with two different worlds and different cultures and trying to bring them together. Thankfully, that's increasingly been recognized. There's quite a vibrant movement around arts for health and well-being, of which obviously music is one of the key vehicles, but by no means the only one. But it's still a challenge within the health and care setting to get this fully embedded. As we know, the health service and social care is struggling with budgets and pressures and staff shortages and all the rest of it. So, you know, we're really saying, look, there's a different and better way that you can support people with dementia. And this is about quality of life. It's about maintaining independence for as long as possible and about hopefully delaying deterioration of the disease and allowing people to live independently for as long as possible.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
My guest on this edition of the D Word podcast is Giles Wilmore from Music in Mind Remote.
Yeah, do you think societally as well that, you know, we're still in the era of I've got something wrong with me, so take a pill to put it right, instead of there's something else, you know, you might like to listen to this, you might like to play that instrument, and it's going to have the same effect, if not a better effect, than that pill you're taking.
I think that's still an attitude that is quite prevalent in society. I think there's obviously a lot of faith and trust in our medical profession, which is rightly so. But I think we all know that there's a wide range of long-term conditions, of which dementia is one, which sadly are not curable, that people who get them are going to struggle to varying degrees. It's going to have an impact not only on their lives, but their family members and carers. And therefore, I think too much of our emphasis as a healthcare system, if you like, is on curing rather than supporting people to live well with long-term conditions independently for as long as they can. And social prescribing, which I mentioned earlier, part of the reason, and that phrase often is one that jars with people in local community groups and charities and voluntary organisations who say, we've been delivering this kind of support for decades, it's nothing new. But the language works more in a medical context because it helps people to see that this is something that the doctor can prescribe. It's a social solution rather than a pill or a treatment or a medicine. It's out there and it's in the community, but community groups and organisations need funding and support to be able to then deliver the services and facilitate the groups and the connections which are going to help people.
Yeah, you know, coming to a close, 5 years' time, we're having another conversation, which would be really pleasant. You know, where would you hope to be?
Well, I would hope that this approach of music-based therapy, not just Music in Mind and the work I'm doing, but I would hope to see that as a standard uniform offer. So whenever somebody is diagnosed with dementia, whenever somebody has need for additional support, that they're routinely able to offer things like Music in Mind and dementia choirs and all the other variations of music as a form of support that's accessible through social prescribing, through NHS referral, or indeed just by people connecting with local groups in their area and going along and trying it out and seeing if it's for them. So I'd like to see it become a standard offer, something that's available as a care and support treatment and therapy that people can benefit from.
Sounds, sounds like a very good plan. People can find out all about it on the website.
Yeah, so we've got information on Manchester Camerata's website, so www.manchestercamerata.co.uk. And if you go onto Camerata's website and just look for Music and Dementia, there's lots of information on there about what we do and a number of other charities and organisations doing similar things as well. So Music in Mind, by no means the only example, but one that we're very proud of.
Many thanks to Giles, and I wish him and all the team there at Music in Mind Remote every success. Well, that's all we've got time for on this edition. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon on another D Word podcast.